Does the Book of Mormon have anything about commercials?
Yes.
What, a, yeah,
what do they have to say about our sponsors?
Commercialism.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring, nor, neither, that really should be nor, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Words to live by.
So watch out for them bad apples.
So good trees, good fruit.
That was a very Minnesotan, like, middle-of-the-road safe answer. It's like, good stuff does good, bad stuff does bad. So advertising's, yes.
Yeah.
It's a thing that happens.
So can I get anyone a refill on a beverage or anything of the like before we start?
I'm okay.
A game?
I didn't study for this game.
It's okay. I did go through and picked fun ones that are recognizable, like obscure. And also my.
Are you doing Leonard Cohen?
Yes.
Yes. Jeopardy style.
And I am doing a little bit more expansive. Like, I'm not just going to read, like, the bare bones. I'll do more like a neutral ish thing.
You having fun over there?
Yes. They just put Goosebumps specials on Netflix. If you want to say something about that.
Yay.
I know you do.
I feel like Netflix is becoming less and less movies and more shitty TV shows you never want to watch. Tons of Discovery Channel.
But not the things that was started. They had a lot of TLC and other stuff on there for a little bit to give diversity.
And they put on a bunch of TED Talks.
Except TLC is owned by the same parent company. It's all Discovery, Travel, History, Discovery Science.
They put on TED Talks, which part of me thinks is cool, but you can watch TED Talks for free. You don't need to pay a membership to watch TED Talks. So why is it important that it's on Netflix?
The TED website actually categorizes them and links you to them. You don't have to know which one.
Well, Netflix kind of categorizes them by conference.
Yeah, but if I don't know... The TED ones, if I go to TED's website, I can look it up by content, not by location.
Yeah. But I want more current movies. And they're not delivering that. It's a little irritating.
Well, they need to get new contracts. They need to...
And when they do recently added and it's a movie from like 25 years ago, I'm like, not a new release! There's no way you can define that. That constitutes a new release.
Yes.
This just out, The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston.
Well, it might be out on 50th anniversary edition.
We need to change. I want to see in the world like it's in.
But you have to say.
Oh, okay. But I read that wrong the first time. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
I love the intermission bits that they have in there.
Intermission?
Yes.
There's an intermission bit?
With the Blu-ray, because you have your fancy TV that can't have a static image for too long.
Oh, yes.
Disney, for The Little Mermaid, if you hit pause, it counts down for 5 seconds, then goes to an under-the-sea thing where bubbles float up, and Samuel E. Wright, the voice of Sebastian, talks to you about... You know, that they're going to warm up for their concert. Then they play the various songs from the movie, but they have the animated music videos with the lyrics on the screen. It is wonderful. So if you ever wanted to know the words to songs, you can find that out. But I think it's interesting how they dealt with the new technology and the, you know, what content to put in there and not just have bubbles.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Maybe I also thought it was cool because it was 4 o'clock in the morning when I discovered that.
Yeah, it's
that kind of makes everything better.
4 a.m.
Four a.m. Yeah. Unless you have to be up for work tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it made me want to put in the Beauty and the Beast Blu-ray that we have to see if they did it for that too. But I was too sleepy and my bed was warm.
That's being thorough, I must say. If you're taking the time to put that on screen when people pause the movie. That's pretty cool.
And then when you hit play, it starts back up where you were.
Kind of like the Buffering Podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to start back up.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do two test rounds of the Leonard Maltin game to get everybody back acclimated into this.
All right.
Sure.
And so I've come up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 categories, so there'll be plenty of us to test stuff out on and still have stuff left.
Wow.
So, anyone have a coin or something fun or something you could flip and not break and horribly mangle?
I have a pop tab.
Or I could flip the Book of Mormon.
We could flip the Book of Mormon.
Okay. So, well, and actually, I'm going to have you flip it since you're in a more free area. I'm going to have you call in the air to figure out if you're going to start or if Joel's going to start for this one.
Okay. I'm really bad at this. I'm going with
the ground. Call in the air.
She is really bad at
tails.
It's heads. So, Joel, you get to pick the first category.
All right.
But we will go clockwise for this one among yourself, Mayanna, and Adam. Your three categories to pick from are Zemeckis. So, a Zemeckis film.
Yeah.
Disney, so that's just a movie produced by Disney, or Farewell, Hayao Miyazaki.
Ooh, what? Okay. So all the ones that I would want are nestled together.
I can direct things well.
Hmm. Because part of me wants to go Zemeckis, but I'm going to have to go Miyazaki.
It is kind of a nice finite list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get to pick between 3 years, and I need to actually switch this so it's by year, so I call this right.
All
right. There we go. Okay. So your 3 years are 1989, 1997, or 2004?
89, 97, or 2004.
And I will say that this list is based on the English dub.
Okay.
Though it would be interesting if he also released the original Japanese, just a bunch of names nobody will really recognize.
I think I will go with 89.
89, okay. So Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3.5 stars, 1989. Calls it enchanting.
Like all Miyazaki films.
Yep.
Colorful.
The main character is precocious.
Like most Miyazaki films.
And says it's another beautifully animated, kind-hearted gem from Miyazaki.
Wow, way to go out on a limb.
Yeah.
Way to take a stance.
2, 4, 6, 7 names on this. You know what? I will even throw out there. It's an enchanting coming-of-age fable.
Okay.
7 names.
Like all Miyazaki films.
Yeah, I know, right? 1989. I figured it was safe to say that. That's why. 3.5 stars. So it's up to you to bid as to how many names you need to hear on the list from the bottom up in order to guess the movie appropriately.
From the bottom up, meaning the people I'm less likely to be aware of?
Yeah, going up to the top. Though you can go to bidding 0 names and just name the movie flat out if you know it. Or you can go to negative names where you are up to naming the name of the movie and then from the top down based on your bid.
I don't think I'm going to do that with a Miyazaki film.
But something to be aware of during this nice practice round.
I think I'll go with 7.
7 names. So, Mayanna, it goes to you. Where you have
how
to
many
bid.
Are there?
There are 7 total, so basically you could say 6 and lose 1 and push it to Adam or say name that movie to Joel and he gets all 7.
I'll try 6.
6, all right. So Adam, it goes to you. You have to do five or less, or tell Miana to name that movie.
I'm going to go with three names.
All right. So, Joel, it's to you. You have to do two names or less, or tell Adam to name that movie. Three and a half stars, which most of this really is Miyazaki. Three and a half stars. Really good. It's precocious.
I guess I would shoot for two names.
Two names? Miana, it goes to you.
Name that movie, Joel.
Okay, so the two names that you get are Ed McClurg and Tress McNeil.
Is that Edie McClure?
Edie, yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. I've got two in mind, but I can't think of the title of the one I actually think it is. So I think it's either Kiki's Delivery Service or the one in the amusement park where her parents get turned to pigs. Oh, for Pete's sakes. And I think it's that one. Oh, what is that called? Ooh.
It's not called the Badgering Baboon.
I know.
That's my interpretation of that. You know, I'm going to go with Kiki's.
It is Kiki's.
Woo!
Oh, nice.
Yes, that's the one I was...
Yeah, Spirited Away, yep.
Yeah, other names on the list, Janine Garofalo, Debbie Reynolds, Matthew Lawrence, Phil Hartman, Kirsten Dunst.
See, Phil Hartman would have been a lock for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Well, yeah, with right. that, for this second test round, just to make sure everything's working perfectly or... is understood. Adam, since you weren't a part of that skirmish, you get to pick the next category, and it goes Miana's way. So for you, I'm going to give you challenges. So I will pick, would you like Fries with that? And that would be the movies of Stephen Fry or Billy West, who voices Fry on Futurama.
Dear God.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Zooey Deschanel films. Zooey. I know, but still, it's got two O's, so it's spelled Zooey. And I will also give you Candyland, John Candy movies.
Oh.
I think the path is clear, Adam.
Yeah, let's go with John Candy movies.
All right.
Why not?
So, your options are... 1985, number one, 1985, number two, or 1990?
1990, please.
Okay. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars. It's entertaining, if plotty. There was... film buffs will notice considerable computer-assisted style to this film, especially the villain's mode of transportation. I know, right? 2, 4, 6, 7 names.
Whoa.
Including John Candy as one of them.
7 names.
So, Miana, it goes to you, 6 or less, or tell Adam to name that movie with 7 names.
I'll do 6 just to give Joel a shot.
All right, Joel, it goes to you, 5 or less, or tell Miana to name that movie.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go with 4.
4 names. So, Adam, it's to you, 3 or less.
Name that movie.
So, with 4 names... You get Frank Welker, Adam Ryan, Tristan Rogers, and John Candy. So we got him on the list, and that means you're only missing 3 names.
Hmm.
1990, 3 stars, entertaining if plotty.
If
plotty? Like P-L-O-T-T-Y?
Correct.
Meaning it has too much plot?
It's got a lot of plot going on.
It's got a lot of plot going on.
So much plot.
And it has computer graphics of some sort.
Yes, for 1990.
For 1990.
In a vehicle.
Yes, in the...
Based on a vehicle.
In the villain's vehicle, if I remember.
Yes.
Why am I helping?
Because there's no way in hell we know what it is.
1990.
I will throw this out there. I don't know how much this will actually help. It's a sequel.
What?
Oh.
Oh, God. That, I think, just made things harder.
Well... I have a guess now, at least.
Because I was thinking maybe Spaceballs, but if it's a sequel, there's no way that's it. And I don't know that I would define that as being plotty. Oh, God. John Candy movies. I'm just trying to think of John Candy movies with a villain.
True.
Was there a sequel to Who is Harry Crumb?
No.
Thank God.
Any sort of guess?
Inspector Gadget 2?
No, actually, I think Inspector Gadget 2, that was in the 2000s, yeah. I think.
Okay.
What else you got on the list?
On the list, I also have George C. Scott. Here's the kicker. Ava Gabor.
What?
And
no. Bob Newhart.
I think I know.
Is it The Rescuers Down Under?
It is The Rescuers Down Under. That was my guess now, too.
Oh, my God.
George C. Scott would have done it for me, actually.
John Candy? Who was John Candy in that?
He was the replacement Albatross.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He flew him out of Chicago. They did the CG all dive right. off the building, and they were flying all through right. traffic, and the cars looked really shitty.
Yeah.
I don't get any points for knowing it
wow.
after.
No. Plus, this is still
pretty nice.
So
I've broken even.
Well, you don't lose any points for that. It's actually Adam gets the point for telling you to name it.
I see.
Woo. And I just get personal satisfaction.